Was there any reasonable explanation for why Caleb was, what was he trying to do? Just trying to buy himself some time? And just once he made a bad decision, it got worse.
Yeah, well, I think that the hope was that you could have handled that rusher a little bit better than they did. And when you don't, you're sort of left in that Tom and Jerry mode that we've talked about previously with other quarterbacks. And I think, I initially, upon watching the game video and kind of sensing the situation with where the Bears were on the field, had kind of wanted Caleb to dirt the football, you know, just get it over by DeAndre Swift over there and dirt it and take the loss and live to see another play.
You asked Flusi that, right?
Flusi about that today. Yeah. And he sort of let him off the hook and said, look, like when that guy gets in as quickly as he does, and you turn around from your sort of play action, play fake, and he's right there. He kind of commended Caleb for taking care of the football there. I will accept that explanation, particularly after we saw Will Levis make a catastrophic error trying to get rid of the football. Yep. And it really costing the Titans a football game. And so I will take the coach's word on that one in particular. The 19-yard loss is something you can't have on a regular basis, particularly when you are in a position to score. You're at first and 10 at the Titans 25, and then it turns into a punt. Not real good. But it's an early error by Caleb in the offense that they have to get cleaned up and learn from.
So every week we break down Caleb Williams' performance, or the quarterback's performance. Last year it was Justin Fields. This year it will be Caleb Williams, in four different categories: defining moment, on the bright side, uh-oh, and big number. Dan, let's start with defining moment for Caleb Williams. He was 14 for 29, 93 yards, sacked twice with a passer rating of 55.7. What was your defining moment for Caleb Williams?
So it was what we just talked about. It was that 19-yard sack, and it's not so much an indictment of Caleb for having such a negative play in that situation there. It's just a representation of the Bears' offensive struggles on Sunday afternoon. It just felt like any time they got a surge of momentum, they couldn't capitalize on it offensively. They had three possessions, David, start inside Titans territory and only squeeze 6 points out of those possessions. When your defense and special teams are helping you that much, you got to capitalize on it. In that particular case, again, like I say, you took over the football after a big punt return from DeAndre Carter inside Titans territory. You were able to march down to the edge of the red zone. It's first and 10 at the 25. And then for that drive to end with a punt that ends with a holding penalty that ends up giving the Titans the ball at the 21. It was just, to me, was a snapshot of the struggles the Bears had all day of getting anything going offensively, even when they had the wind at their back.
I think his defining moment was, you could pick one, but there were too many defining moments. His accuracy was off, and I don't think we saw that, whether he was overthrowing a pass down the sidelines. He just didn't have the touch that was required, and that touch kind of in the preseason revealed the polish that we were excited about. And I think that we were able to say his arm talent is exceptional, and we didn't see that, frankly, yesterday. The best throw he might have made was the one that Keenan Allen dropped. Mm-hmm. That might have been the best and most accurate throw total overall, and I just don't know if I expected that. So I think the defining moment is plural. Defining moments, the misses from Caleb Williams that allowed him to go 14 for 29. I know maybe there are a couple drops in there, but still, it wasn't like the preseason where the numbers were skewed and it should have been better. I think 14 for 29 accurately depicts a quarterback that never found his rhythm.
And like you said, there were some accuracy moments at times. And early in the first half, there's an out and up to Keenan Allen where he's got separation. And that's a play that the entire Soldier Field crowd is waiting to hit, you know, and you will put a huge surge of energy in that stadium if you make that throw. He missed it, you know, and you just have to live with that and hope that it gets better as you get more experience and as you get a little more settled and a little bit more comfortable inside the regular season. I promise you, we won't look back on this Caleb Williams start and feel like it was an acceptable effort despite the final result. We also knew that these types of days were going to come up in 2024, and it's all about how he responds to them, how he carries the result and the performance from Sunday forward into the preparation for the Texans, and then ultimately tries to get better in week two.
Next category, on the bright side. There were bright moments, or is that singular too? On the bright side, Dan, what'd you see?
Yeah, there were a few bright moments, but one of my favorite throws is a little play action rollout to the right, and it's a layered read for Caleb, and he just throws an absolute bullet to DJ Moore crossing. But they didn't have much to talk about. The explosive plays were nowhere to be found on Sunday. So my on the bright side, really, David, is the fact that Caleb Williams did not create a game-losing mistake. Took care of the football all day. The two sacks were attention-grabbing, but they didn't cost you the football game. And I think it's a good lesson for a rookie quarterback to learn, particularly a rookie quarterback who has this team around him. We talked about Caleb at USC being in that hero ball mode a lot because he was chasing points. You did have to chase 17 points yesterday, but you did so knowing your defense wasn't maybe going to stop it right there at 27 or at 17 points rather. And so Caleb did a nice job of staying steady enough to not create that game losing mistake. And that's about as faint the praise as I can offer from Sunday.
And people should know, and our Take the North podcast loyal listeners do know and remember that this was a difficult category for you to fill last year. On the bright side, there wasn't many things on the bright side when you look at the season that Justin Fields put together, his last win in Chicago. But this one hopefully will be easier than it was on Sunday against the Titans. My on the bright side moment came 3:33 left in the third quarter. Caleb Williams, protection breaks down. He's looking. He decides to scramble. He's going to use his feet. We don't really talk about that because we think he's, you know, obviously the arm talent is what catches your eye. He scrambles for 11 on third and 10. That's a key gain because that kept the chains moving. They end up getting a 50-yard field goal at the end of that drive. And as we know, Mr. Santos delivered a 50 and a 48-yarder, and they needed all of the points. But that drive was kept alive by one of the few bright moments on the bright side, 11-yard gain with his feet from Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and you want those scrambles to be timely, you know, and I think that that's going to be a difference with Caleb Williams. He's always going to be on the move looking to throw, but when he does run, it better be with purpose and it better be with an understanding of where you are situationally. That's a good one to highlight, David.
Next category, uh-oh. What is your uh-oh moment?
I got two of them from the fourth quarter. The first one, the Bears are down 17-13. They run a little jet motion with Adunze, and they're looking to throw a sort of a throwback screen to Rome. And Caleb completes his play fake, turns around, and almost plants the ball right in Arden Key's solar plexus, really. You know, he threw a ball that could have been the catastrophic mistake that I just praised him for not having. Arden Key just didn't corral the football and wasn't in the position to catch it. But that's dangerous. You know, at that stage of the game, you can't make that mistake, even though it wasn't capitalized on by the Titans. There was also one. Third and two in the fourth quarter where the Bears had set up a perfect bubble screen to DJ Moore to the left. And Caleb just took his eye off the football on the snap and dropped the snap. And it's a fumbled snap on third and short. And he ends up picking it up and then trying to make a hero play to Keenan Allen and on a ball that he threw out the back of the end zone and almost put in the first row of the north end zone at Soldier Field. That is just a situation where a guy we praise for being so operationally clean and efficient and quick with his hands just made a blunder, you know, and couldn't catch a snap at a key moment in the game. You can't have those types of mistakes. That's an uh-oh moment that I'm sure that Kerry Joseph and the rest of the offensive staff went over with Caleb on Monday.
Coaching points, right? Those are coaching points, and hopefully they will cut those down. There's more that happened probably in terms of the uh-oh plays in one game, first regular season game, then probably happened in the previous month in terms of having coaching points to point out. So my uh-oh moment is, again, you can't really narrow just one, but how many batted passes was the final tally? Probably two, possibly three. Did not expect that, Dan. We haven't seen that in the preseason. It makes you wonder what exactly he can do to change his throwing lanes. I think people, we took a call this morning already. If that continues, people are going to start to question his height again.
Yeah.
We're going to have him going back-to-back with Mark Grody to see who's actually 6 feet 1 inch. Three batted passes, the final tally, according to our ace producer, Alex Kuhn. That's three too many. You don't want that to happen. And maybe one is allowed. Two is you're concerned. Three is uh-oh. What's going on?
No, it's fair to bring that up because, David, that wasn't prevalent throughout training camp, but it wasn't rare either. There were more than a few instances where passes were being knocked down at the line of scrimmage. It's something that Caleb's going to have to learn and he's going to have to work with. You know, his height is not going to change going forward in the NFL. We think he's topped out at I guess he's listed at 6'1 and probably a smidge below that, depending on how poofed up his hair is before or after a practice or a game. When you talk about the greats that were a little bit smaller, Drew Brees is the first to come to mind. one of the things the Saints did for Drew Brees is they went out and got him two standout guards on the interior of the line in Jarry Evans and Carl Nix that allowed him to use his gifts in creating space inside the pocket. Caleb's going to have to learn that. He's going to have to evolve in that way. He's going to have to feel that out as time moves on to be able to create some throwing lanes and not have the prevalence of those batted down passes, because those are essentially wasted plays. And in a worst case scenario, they get batted up in the air and they turn into turnovers. And so something to keep an eye on through the remainder of September and into early October as he gets his feet on the ground.
Olin Cruz brought up an interesting point this morning, kind of remembering his time in New Orleans with Drew Brees. Brief as it was, it made an impression. And he talked about how, because Brees and his stature, they started drafting or acquiring bigger, taller offensive guards. And the interior, they kind of built from kind of guards who were maybe the size of tackles. I don't know if over time you'll start to see that more with the Bears. They already have at left guard with Tevin Jenkins, a guy who is built like a tackle. So I don't know if that is something, you know, long-term you start to see the way the roster is constructed. They need to do something about the offensive line. And they need to improve it. But there's It's interesting to look at those kinds of possibilities.
No question. You know, and you got to find answers, you know, and so we'll see where that goes. Hopefully in front of a national audience on Sunday, there's not a whole flurry of batted down passes.
Our final category in breaking down the quarterback, big number. What is your big number for Caleb Williams on Sunday?
I got a great one for you. And I put this on X earlier this afternoon. The Bears 64 net passing yards on Sunday were their fewest in a victory since having only 29 net passing yards in an unforgettably forgettable 23-6 win at Carolina in 2010. I believe you were at that game, also known as the Todd Collins game.
Oh, yeah.
For those who were in Charlotte on that afternoon and remember the pain of that. I'll give you a follow-up to that number, David. Since the start of 2004, the Bears are incredibly 12-16 when registering fewer than 100 net passing yards. I was expecting it to be a rarity for a team to have fewer than 100 net passing yards and win games. The Bears have done it 12 times since the start of 2004. They were 4-2 in such games in 2005, the Kyle Orton year. Their five most recent wins with fewer than 100 net passing yards was Sunday against the Texans in 2022. Who could forget that with Justin Fields? The Bengals in 2021, and then wins over the Panthers and Steelers in 2017. The Panthers win in 2017, you may remember, as Eddie Jackson's coming out party, two defensive touchdowns, and John Fox taking great pride in completing, I think, four passes on that afternoon.
Some of those are fond memories for Bears fans. Some of those are downright traumatizing.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I mean, the Todd Collins game I had wiped from my memory. I've repressed that for years.
I'm glad I was able to put it back in there.
Thank you very much. All right, so my big number, and this is probably goes into the overall approach and game plan and lack of success offensively, because it was a day defined by the lack of offensive success. Big number's 13. And that's how many yards represent. That's the longest completion of the day for Caleb Williams. Mm. You're not going to get where you want to go. You're not going to reach your potential with a generational quarterback if you make him into a game manager. Now, I know some of this is him. Not all of it, though. You got to take your shots. I know he maybe took a couple shots, and we just talked about him being inaccurate. You got to take your shots, and then you got to take some more. You don't want to make him timid. You don't want to play into his tentativeness. And when he finishes a game, and as long as completion is 13 yards, something's gone terribly wrong. That's not that may be by design, but if it is, change the design. You got to let Caleb be Caleb.
I'm with you more on that on the other side of this. I will say that when you talk about Ryan Poles' sort of mission for Caleb Williams in his rookie season, it's to be special when the time presents itself to be special. Well, I've sort of set a benchmark of once every quarter, you better deliver a wow play, a moment that tells everyone in the building why you were the number one overall pick in the draft and are expected to be here deep into the 2030s. There were none of those.
What happened to do the special? I got the t-shirt.
Yep.
Where's do the special? There was no special to be found.
No special to be found.
They didn't even try. All right, when we come back on the Take the North Live, we're going to look at the offensive line. We'll look at Shane Waldron's approach to this game schematically. We'll look at the third down efficiency that wasn't very efficient at all.